on radio, online and mobile. You're with SBS Radio.
This is SBS World News Radio. I'm Greg Dyatt.
And I'm Andrea Hoff. Coming up, civilians die in a US airstrike in Afghanistan after a missile malfunctions. It followed a Taliban attack on Kabul airport.
I was working on my farmland when I heard a sound of rocket explosions. Right after that, fighting started and some of the rockets landed on the American base.
Also tonight, a US hip-hop artist due to perform at the NRL Grand Final, now embroiled in the debate over same-sex marriage.
So I'm getting a lot of tweets from angry old white dudes in Australia who, I think there's a petition today to ban me from playing it. So it's interesting times in Australia.
And 12 months after a statewide blackout, soaring costs and power cuts continue to trouble South Australians.
All those stories and more coming up in the next 30 minutes.
Good evening. With the news at 6 o'clock, I'm Andrea Nierhoff. The High Court has published its reasons for allowing the same-sex marriage postal survey to go ahead. It comes 3 weeks after it found the Finance Minister did have the power to fund the $122 million voluntary survey. The full bench ruled the expenditure was unforeseen and found the details collected by the Australian Bureau of Statistics was statistical information. The court also ordered the two groups of challengers to the postal vote to pay costs. The voluntary survey was the government's plan B after the Senate blocked the compulsory plebiscite promised by the coalition at the 2016 election. The survey closes on November 7, with results to be published on November 15. A war of words has erupted over news that US singer Macklemore will be performing at the NRL Grand Final. There have been calls from politicians, including former Prime Minister Tony Abbott and One Nation leader Pauline Hanson, to prevent him from singing the song Same Love, which promotes gay and lesbian rights. Macklemore is due to perform the song along with several other hits at the match on Sunday. It was recorded during the campaign to legalise same-sex marriage in the US state of Washington in 2012. NRL CEO Todd Greenberg says there was no political motivation behind the decision to invite the singer.
It's an interesting time because of obviously all of the politics that go with it. But, you know, our principle on this has been pretty consistent and pretty sound right from the beginning, which was find the world's biggest artist. And it's hard to argue that Macklemore's not in that bracket. And for him to come out here and play what will be a spectacular pre-match entertainment.
Immigration Minister Peter Dutton has backed Mr. Abbott, saying he doesn't want political messaging to be a part of sport. Meanwhile, Attorney General George Brandis has thrown his support behind the US artist, calling Mr. Abbott's comments bizarre. Playboy founder Hugh Hefner has died at age 91. Hefner was known for his silk pyjamas and smoking jacket and for being surrounded by young, usually blonde women. Long before the internet, Playboy magazine caused uproar for publishing photos of disrobed celebrities and aspiring stars, with Hefner acquitted of obscenity charges in 1963. Hefner's marketing skills led to the Playboy bunny becoming one of the best-known logos in the world. In a statement, Playboy Enterprises says he died peacefully in his home on Wednesday. Immigration Minister Peter Dutton has taken aim at the first group of refugees to leave Australia's offshore detention centres for resettlement in the United States. In response to a comment by a Sydney radio host that a photograph of the group published by News Corp this week looked like a fashion show in Paris or New York, Mr. Dutton said he believes the government has been taken for a ride by many refugee advocates. He says there is a very different scenario on Manus and Nauru than what people want the public to believe.
There are a lot of people that haven't come out of war-ravaged areas. They're economic refugees. They got on a boat, paid a people smuggler a lot of money, and you know, somebody once said to me that that the world's biggest collection of Armani jeans and handbags up on Nauru, waiting for people to collect it when they depart.
Amnesty International has called the comments irresponsible and showing a lack of understanding. Indonesia's National Disaster Mitigation Agency says nearly 100,000 people have fled Bali as the chance of a volcanic eruption increases. Mount Agung has shown increased activity for weeks, prompting the government to raise its alert to the highest level last Friday. So far, more than 800 earthquakes have been reported, and thin smoke has been observed rising 50 metres above the crater. A spokesman from the Indonesian Red Cross says the huge numbers of people is making it difficult to coordinate preparations.
The number is a lot, big number, a very complicated thing. You know, for example, like how to identify the numbers of our refugees, the people. This is a big challenge because they're moving every time, even every hour.
The volcano last erupted in 1963, killing more than 1,100 people. And Vanuatu officials have ordered the complete evacuation of an island where a volcano is also threatening to erupt. Following a meeting on Thursday, officials decided that in the interests of safety, Ambai Island, home to around 11,000 people, should be evacuated. An emergency was declared on Monday. And now taking a look at tomorrow's weather. Perth, partly cloudy and 20. In Adelaide, a shower or two and 17. In Melbourne, possible afternoon showers and 19 degrees. Late showers in Windy and Hobart and 16. In Canberra, partly cloudy, 19. Wollongong will be sunny and 24. More sun for Sydney and 26. In Newcastle, similar conditions and also 26. Brisbane, mostly sunny, 33. In Cairns, partly cloudy and 30. And sunny again in Darwin and 34. And Greg, more on these stories coming up on SBS World News with Sarah Arbo at 6:30.
Thanks, Andrea. Right across Australia, this is SBS World News Radio, 6 past 6. Well, as Andrea mentioned in the news, the United States airstrike has killed civilians in Afghanistan's capital, Kabul, after militants fired rockets at the airport in an apparent attempt to target the US Defense Secretary Jim Mattis. It's not clear how many civilians have been killed or injured. US officials have blamed a missile malfunction for the strike, which came as US helicopter gunships backed Afghan troops fighting the attackers. Sasha Payne has the details.
The NATO mission in Afghanistan says it's investigating the missile attack on the civilians in the aftermath of an audacious airport assault claimed by both the Taliban and IS. The rockets rained down on Kabul airport after US Defense Secretary Jim Mattis had left, but the Taliban says it was targeting him in the assault. Speaking afterward, General Mattis has maintained the Taliban cannot win the war by force and has reiterated the US position that an Afghan-led reconciliation is the answer.
I want to reinforce to the Taliban that the only path to peace and political legitimacy for them is through a negotiated settlement. We welcome those who commit to a peaceful future for Afghanistan. We support Afghan-led reconciliation as the solution to this conflict, and the sooner the Taliban recognizes they cannot win with bombs, the sooner the killing will end.
The attack on the airport demonstrates the precarious security situation in the Afghan capital. A US military official says up to 40 rounds of munitions hit the airport, 29 of them involving rocket-propelled grenades. The munitions were fired towards the guard tower and hit the south side of the airport. A witness described what happened.
I was working on my farmland when I heard a sound of rocket explosions. Right after that, fighting started and some of the rockets landed on the American base. There was heavy fighting and I managed to escape from the area.
General Mattis had travelled to Kabul from India to pledge support for Afghan President Ashraf Ghani's government. President Ghani says a stable Afghanistan is in everyone's best interests.
We need to all recognise that a stable Afghanistan is in everybody's benefit, and Afghanistan can become the platform for regional cooperation. Afghan territory will not be permitted to be used for destabilization of any of our neighbors, and this is a cardinal principle with us. We do not differentiate between good and bad terrorism and do not engage in destabilizing our neighbors.
The visit was the general's first to the country since US President Donald Trump announced a new Afghan strategy late last month. Mr. Trump promised a stepped-up military campaign against the Taliban. The Taliban have gained ground against US-backed Afghan government forces as they try to re-establish strict Islamic law following their ousting in 2001. The US has committed to sending an additional 3,000 troops to help train Afghan security forces. There are 8,400 US soldiers in Afghanistan right now. General Mattis met President Ghani with NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg. Mr. Stoltenberg says it's imperative that NATO continues its work.
We know the cost of staying in Afghanistan, but the cost of leaving would be even higher. If NATO forces leave too soon, There is a risk that Afghanistan may return to a state of chaos and once again become a safe haven for international terrorism.
The airport attack itself injured 5 civilians as fighters holed up in a nearby building and continued to resist security forces. 2 children are believed to be among the injured. All flights were halted at the airport as Afghan forces surrounded an area where the rockets were believed to have been fired. Sporadic gunfire and explosions could be heard in the vicinity for hours after the attack.
Sasha Payne with that report, which was produced by Matt Kinnellan. Coming up on the show, a US hip-hop artist caught up in Australia's same-sex marriage debate.
So I'm getting a lot of tweets from angry old white dudes in Australia who, I think there's a petition today to ban me from playing it. So it's interesting times in Australia.
That story coming up on SBS World News Radio. And a reminder that you can now live stream our TV bulletin on our website between 6:30 and 7:30. Just go to sbs.com.au/news. This is SBS World News Radio. Well, today marks a year since South Australia's statewide power outage, with further blackouts and soaring costs continuing to plague residents. Some have taken action. Here's Gareth Borum.
Just before peak hour on September 28 last year, a 1-in-50-year storm brought South Australia to its knees. A statewide power outage caused widespread chaos, disrupting traffic, businesses and residents from Adelaide to the most remote corners of the state. At Wayne Duffy's bakery company, a loss of power meant a loss of production, with no sales and spoilage.
We lost a lot of product because we couldn't make it or store it. The impact on us would have been in the tens of thousands of dollars.
But it's what's happened since then that he finds more concerning.
The price of our power, and it's to do not just with the cost of the units of power that we buy, but also the infrastructure that we have to pay for through our bills as well, has gone up significantly in proportion to the rest of our costs.
More blackouts and soaring costs have spurred some into action. After long consideration, Adelaide homeowner Peter Johnston installed solar panels on his roof.
Well, certainly the unpredictability of costs, but also I just feel it's the way to go, you know, from an environmental point of view, as well as from an energy efficiency approach.
He's not alone in seeking to regain some control over his energy bills. Dan Spencer from solar advocacy group Solar Citizens says it's been a widespread trend.
We saw a big increase in the months after the blackout of people going to solar and seeing renewables as the solution.
Investigations since the blackout have shown the causes were complex. Damaged infrastructure and offline interconnector and unknown settings on wind turbines all played a role in the outage. The Australian energy market operator claims state government measures announced this year may prevent more blackouts this summer, but warns gas shortages could cause further problems. Anthony Penny of Business SA says his organisation will continue to lobby the state and federal governments to help reduce power costs for businesses across the state. He hopes an agreement on the clean energy target will help ease pressure on prices.
If we consider the whole objective of the National Energy Regulation is to provide affordable, reliable, secure power in the best interest of all consumers. And right now we don't have that because of the stalemate on the clean energy target at a federal level.
With summer and a state election approaching, the only certainty when it comes to energy policy is that it will stay in the spotlight.
Gareth Borum with that story by Rhiannon Alston. Coming up on the show, robots take to the stage in Adelaide.
The algorithms and the programs that drive the response of the robot aren't predictable, so it's an autonomous kind of neural network that's set up. So it is fascinating to actually watch him or her and respond in a different way each time to the sounds and to the situation.
17 past six. Now, next week, the Nobel Peace Prize will be announced, and controversies are swirling around some of the former winners. Some have been accused of human rights abuses, while others of going to either start or escalate wars. Nikki Canning has the details.
Aung San Suu Kyi was awarded the 1991 Nobel Peace Prize for her non-violent struggle for democracy and human rights. But now, as leader of Myanmar, she's facing international criticism for her long silence over the country's treatment of Rohingya Muslims. The United Nations has labelled the situation a textbook case of ethnic cleansing. The UN says more than 420,000 Rohingya have fled into neighbouring Bangladesh since August as a result of mass killings, rapes and villages being burnt in Rakhine State. Ms Suu Kyi's now responded to the criticism and says she's ordered the military to exercise restraint.
We condemn all human rights violations and unlawful violence. We are committed to the restoration of peace, stability and rule of law throughout the state. The security forces have been instructed to adhere strictly to the code of conduct in carrying out security operations, to exercise all due restraint, and to take full measures to avoid collateral damage and the harming of innocent civilians.
Ms Suu Kyi is not the first recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize to attract criticism, with a number of winners going on to either launch wars or escalate them. Israeli leader Menachem Begin ordered the invasion of Lebanon in 1982, 4 years after sharing the Nobel Peace Prize with Egypt's Anwar Sadat for their Camp David peace accord. Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat shared the 1994 prize with Israel's Yitzhak Rabin and Shimon Peres for the Oslo Accords.
It is history in the real meaning of the word.
But the accords have not brought a lasting settlement to the Arab-Israeli conflict, and Mr. Arafat later led the Palestinians during the Second Intifada, a violent uprising against Israeli occupation. Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev was awarded the prize in 1990 for his role in bringing the Cold War to a peaceful end. But in 1991, Mr. Gorbachev sent tanks to try to stop the independence of the Baltic countries. United States President Barack Obama won the award in 2009, just months after taking office. By the time he got to Oslo to collect the prize at the end of the year, he had ordered a tripling of US troop numbers in Afghanistan.
I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge the considerable controversy that your generous decision has generated. I'm responsible for the deployment of thousands of young Americans to battle in a distant land. And some will kill, and some will be killed. And so I come here with an acute sense of the costs of armed conflict.
Even saints haven't been spared criticism. Mother Teresa, who was canonized by Pope Francis last year, received the 1979 Nobel Peace Prize.
And I'm very happy to receive it in the name of the hungry, of the naked, of the homeless, of all those people who feel unwanted, unloved, uncared, thrown away of the society. People who have become a burden to the society and are shunned by everybody. In their name, I accept the award.
But British medical journal The Lancet criticised her in 1994 for offering neither diagnoses nor strong painkillers to dying patients in her Calcutta hospice. This year's recipient will be announced next week. Among the favourites are those associated with the 2015 Iran nuclear deal: Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif, EU Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini, and former US Secretary of State John Kerry. Other possible contenders are Pope Francis, Syria's White Helmet Rescue Crews, the UN Refugee Agency UNHCR, and its High Commissioner Filippo Grandi. The UNHCR has already won the award twice.
Nikki Canning ending that story, which was compiled by Tara Cosoletto. Well, robots are increasingly being given jobs designed to make our lives easier, but do they have a role when it comes to the arts? Australian audiences will have a world-first look this week at an android designed to entertain. Rhiannon Elston gained exclusive behind-the-scenes access.
Skeleton is practicing for its big performance, singing opera on stage for the first time.
Skeleton is an advanced humanoid robot, built like a machine from the neck down, but with distinctly human-like facial expressions. The musical robot and the songs it will perform are the work of the Japanese composer Katsuhiro Shibuya. Known for his reality-bending works, his latest piece probes the space between pleasure and fear. He admits some might find it confronting, but says that's the point.
Yeah, the title is Scary Beauty. The title is very strange, I know. So the something terrible and scary and something strange and beautiful and something move. The mixed feeling, if people can get, I'm so happy. Yeah, because I think now, so art is too much comfortable for audience.
Adelaide audiences will be the first in the world to see it as part of the AusAsia Festival this weekend. Joseph Mitchell is the festival's artistic director.
As we now turn into a century where we're actively developing and creating new technology that may well even supersede us in hundreds of years to come, I think it's so important that we think about embedding androids and future technology with a sense of what is art and culture and how can that play a role in terms of shaping future artificial intelligence. And this show really puts the toe in the water in terms of starting that dialogue.
Peter Knight will be playing alongside Skeleton with the Australian Art Orchestra. He says it's somewhat surreal to play alongside a humanoid robot.
The algorithms and the programs that drive the response of the robot aren't predictable, so it's an autonomous kind of neural network that's set up. So it is fascinating to actually watch him or her and respond in a different way each time to the sounds and to the situation.
Skeleton is one of the world's most sophisticated androids. Scientists at Osaka University worked to create its physical design and basic movements. Further enhancement was added by Tokyo University, including inbuilt neural networks that mimic the human brain. The android operates small hand and eye movements without any direct control, responding to the world around it. Katsuhiro Shibuya says he wasn't sure how his work would be received, but he's looking forward to seeing Skeleton's many skills on stage in public for the first time.
This concert is a real, totally new feeling and a new experience for audience. Now, I don't know if this is successful or not, but it's totally new.
And that story by Rhiannon Elston, 24 past 6 now. And you're listening to SBS World News Radio. The debate over same-sex marriage has moved from Parliament to the National Rugby League field. Former Prime Minister Tony Abbott has joined those calling for the league to change its grand final entertainment because of a song that supports the yes vote. Andrea Nierhoff explains.
The National Rugby League's grand final is on Sunday, but the focus has shifted from the match to the pre-game entertainment. United States hip-hop artist Macklemore is scheduled to perform several songs, including his 2013 hit Same Love. The song promotes gay and lesbian rights and was recorded during the campaign to legalise same-sex marriage in the US state of Washington in 2012. But Macklemore has told the US radio program The Cruise Show he's received attacks online from Australia over his song choice.
So I'm getting a lot of tweets from angry old white dudes in Australia who, I think there's a petition today to ban me from playing it. So it's interesting times in Australia.
The criticism has extended into Parliament. Former Prime Minister Tony Abbott and One Nation leader Pauline Hanson have supported calls to prevent Macklemore from performing the song. Senator Hanson has told Channel 7 the NRL should have chosen an Australian singer instead.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I think people have had it up to here with the same-sex marriage issue. This is a game that's in their face and people are fed up with it. We've got so many other great artists in this country that we could actually put up there. Why do we bring in someone from overseas and a lot of his songs I've heard, you wouldn't even want to play them because of the lyrics. So why we've got him, who knows?
But there's been overwhelming support for the US artist from other members of Parliament. Attorney General George Brandis has told the ABC the song choice is not politically driven and people should respect his freedom of speech.
Equal Love topped the charts a couple of years ago. For many, many years, as long as I can remember, popular artists have performed at the AFL Grand Final. This particular song is one of four songs, I believe, that Macklemore is singing. It's one of his most popular songs. And for Mr. Abbott or anyone else to say that it should be banned, I think is a bizarre thing to say. I thought Mr. Abbott believed in freedom of speech.
National Party Senator Bridget McKenzie has told Sky News, sport has always been a place to promote equality. She says this situation is no different.
This song, Same Love, is actually calling out homophobia in hip-hop and rap, right? Back in 2013, the number one hit in this country. Sport has been a great vehicle for inclusiveness, whether it is women against sexism, whether it is racism, whether it is homophobia, whether it is including those with a disability in participation. So I don't see sport's role in inclusive behaviour being challenged by including a song like Same Love.
Treasurer Scott Morrison's response? He's asked for everyone to just focus on the game.
I'm a fan of the Sharks, I'm a fan of footy, and I think people want to go to the footy on Sunday and watch footy.
Scott Morrison ending that report by Tara Cosoletto. Now a look at the news headlines for you. And disgraced wellness personality Belle Gibson has been fined $410,000 by the federal court for misleading consumers. Gibson claimed that she healed her brain cancer with natural remedies and lied about donating to charities from the sales of her Whole Pantry app, and she never had brain cancer. Two Malaysian teenagers have been charged with murder over a fire in an Islamic boarding school that's killed 23 people. The blaze sparked public outrage and led to calls for greater safety and tougher regulation at religious schools. The New South Wales government has defended its multi-million dollar de-radicalisation hotline after it was revealed it's only received five calls since its launch in June. And aid groups have called for Myanmar's government to allow free access to Rakhine State, where an army offensive has seen almost 500,000 people flee to Bangladesh. Hundreds and thousands of them remain cut off from food, shelter and medical care. Well, that's SBS World News Radio for now. You can see Sarah Arbo bringing you SBS World News right across Australia. If you're not near a TV, you can live stream our news. All you have to do is go to our website at sbs.com.au/news. There you'll also find our stories and content. You can also get it in your Facebook news feed. All you have to do is like our page, SBS World News. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow us, our Twitter handle at SBS News. I'm Greg Dyett. Thanks for listening this evening.